Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Some of you on this call have just heard me speaking for the last 90 minutes. Yay, it's more of me. If that's the case, I hope you had a chance to pee really quickly. I did. And then some of you haven't heard my voice in a while. For some of you, I haven't heard your voice in a little while since our last retreat in October for those of us in, into the depths. So, I welcome you as well. So excited to be here today, with you, and next week too. So this is our marketing message workshop, and my goal for this workshop, which is going to span over this week and next, is for you to walk away with a more clear understanding of what marketing message is, how to use it in your business, and a working message for you to lean into. If you've already got a good marketing message, hopefully this workshop will help you make it even stronger. And if you don't have a message yet, you know, hopefully you'll walk away with one. It may not be, well, I will tell you, it will not be perfect, because there, in my experience, there's no such thing as perfection when it comes to marketing message. And it's probably not going to be final. In my experience, marketing message takes time. It takes time to, like, really marinate with it and to think about it, get into the nuances of it. And then it also takes time to see how people respond to it and make tweaks from there. And I'll talk to you, you know, as we go along. I'll share more of what I mean by all of that. The way that I really see our two calls this week and next is it's not two separate calls, but almost like we're creating a week-long container around this topic of marketing message. So it's like we're going to start something today, we're going to get into it, and then I'm going to ask you to really be working on it and marinating on it this week, even if you're not actively going to be, you know, writing paper and pen or typing about it every day. It's like things are going to come in the shower or when you take your walk or, you know, when you speak to a client, whatever. Just, I want you to think about, like, we have this week-long container to really incubate your marketing message. We're pretty intimate, and it's like that by design, because while I am going to be, you know, giving you some training, there's also going to be a lot of workshopping. So I don't want this to just be a lecture situation. Today I'll be talking a little bit more, but next week, parts of next week are really going to be about workshopping what you've come up with over the week. And, you know, even though everybody who is here is either in sacred depths, you got this call as a bonus for signing up by a certain date, or you're in Into the Depths, the ritual and facilitation training, you know, in some ways, marketing message is obviously separate from the content of coach training, facilitator training, but it's actually so related, because the clearer that you are on your messaging, then the clearer your marketing is, and then the clearer you're going to be in terms of how you guide your actual sessions or your groups. All right. So let's start by just kind of defining, or I'm going to define for you a little bit what I see, what I understand as marketing message, because it's a phrase that's kind of thrown around a lot, but I think about it in a very particular way. Before I share that with you, I'll just share a little anecdote that hopefully will be illuminating for you. So the very first year or cycle that I offered Into the Depths, it wasn't even called Into the Depths. Right now the title is Into the Depths, Ritual and Facilitation Mastery. The very first time that I offered that training, it was called something like the Ritual and Facilitation Program, or Wise Woman Ritual and Facilitation Training. I think it was actually called Wise Woman Ritual and Facilitation Training. Anyway, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because the first time that I offered that training, because ritual has been such a big part of my life, and ritual and how I facilitate and, you know, all of that has, you know, it's been so important to me to be such a good facilitator that I just thought, I just call it Wise Woman Ritual and Facilitation Training. People that are really into this are going to be really, to those topics, going to be really into it. And it's going to be great. People are just going to, like, flock in. And while I did fill that training the first – I've always felt filled the training. So while that training did fill that first time, I was – it took a while. And I was really in shock that people that I knew that – like, I knew their heart was so into being – good facilitators, and they really wanted to learn more about ritual. I knew they had come to me as a business coach. They had chosen me as their business coach because I had these skills. Like, these people that I thought would be just, like, dead ringers to, like, step right into the program to be trained, they weren't so interested at first. And all of my marketing was about the sacredness of ritual and the sacredness that you could bring to your facilitation and, you know, like, on and on. And I was just like, I was stumped. I was like, what's going on here? Why is it so hard to bring people into this training? And what I realized, thank goodness, at a certain point, was that, yeah, it's true. My ideal client is really into being a good facilitator. They really do want that for themselves. And they are really into, you know, ritual in one way or another. But there was nothing about my marketing message, from the title of the training into how the sales page for the training, into the emails for the training, there, and even into the sales calls that I was having and some of the conversations, there wasn't a good enough reason for someone to say, huh, I would actually really like to get better at this. This is something that I really, really, really want and really, really, really need. This is something that's worth my time. This is something that's worth my investment of money, my investment of time, my investment of energy, all of that. And what I came to realize, I got a lot of great feedback actually in the enrollment conversations around this when they weren't doing so as well. Yeah, I had, previous to that, I had like nailed, you know, 99.999% of any sales calls, and then all of a sudden it just like wasn't happening for this training, and I couldn't understand why. And, you know, what I really saw was, like I said, I'm not giving them a reason, and that for my ideal client, what they needed to be hearing from me was that the more that you master, the more you move towards mastery, the more you improve your skills, the better that you get, not only will you feel more satisfied in your work, but that's actually what can help you make money. That's the top thing that's going to help you make money, right? Of course, marketing is very, very, very important, of course. But doing a good job and building your reputation and having repeat clients, that is core to building your business. And once I realized that, then everything changed for me in terms of my ability to market the program and more easily fill the program. I'm not saying it's a cakewalk, right? It always takes effort to fill a training. But it became so much easier to generate interest. I mean, there was like interest in the program in the sense that people were like, rah, rah, you know, they're so into ritual, but they weren't actually interested so much in joining the program, right? Or it was like for another time for them. But as soon as I honed in on that marketing message, again, which was facilitation mastery is a key component to building your business. Once I honed in on that, that's when everything shifted. Now, there were other, I'll just share real quick without getting into too many anecdotes here, but I think this will be helpful. There were other sub-messages that I realized, because, you know, there are other sub-messages that I realized needed to be inserted in there. Like, I realized in my enrollment conversations with people that if I was speaking to someone who was seasoned, who was already an experienced facilitator or ritualist, that one of their biggest kind of things on their mind was, but I'm already good at this, right? Why would I need more, right? So I needed to insert that a little bit into the message. You know, and that kind of became a little sub-part of the message, right? So anyway, I'm diverting. Anyway, your marketing message is essentially the articulation of the main and most compelling reason why your offering exists and why the offering is of absolute, vital, essential importance for your ideal client. I'm going to say that again. I know it's a mouthful, but it's actually just kind of saying the same thing twice there. Your marketing message is the articulation of the most compelling reason that your offering exists and why the offering is of absolute, vital, essential importance, why your offering or why your business as a whole is a game changer for your ideal client. If your message is not articulating why your offering is a game changer for your ideal client, then it's not going to be as powerful as it can be. If you have more than one offering in your business, each of your offerings are going to have a slightly different marketing message, but they should all be pretty closely related to each other, right? So just for example, you know, in my business, we can look at the Sacred Depths Coach Training and Into the Depths Facilitation and Mastery, Ritual and Facilitation Mastery. The messages are slightly different for each because one is about coach training and one is about ritual and facilitation, but they generally fall under the same umbrella. Depth is part of it. Mastery is part of it, right? Your marketing message also, this is another important thing, your marketing message is going to be used differently depending on the marketing avenue that you're using it in. So, for example, your marketing message, if you have a business card, I actually don't have a business card. I've never had business cards, but if you have a business card, your marketing message should come through in the business card, right? Either in your business name or your tagline, right? But that's obviously going to be way shorter than the way that your message comes through on your website or a sales page. But the main idea of the message, which the main idea should actually be very simple and uncomplicated, that should always be there, no matter what the marketing message is. Here's the other thing I want to say, because I think there can be a misconception out there, at least how I view it, because I know there's lots of different ideas out there about this. Your marketing message isn't necessarily one sentence or phrase. So the best, you want it to be simple and uncomplicated at its core, right? So again, I'll go back to ritual and facilitation. You know, the best, one of the best ways to grow your business is to master the art of facilitation and go deep when you facilitate, right? Like, that's pretty simple. I can say that in a sentence. But if you've been following me, you know I'm layering this all the time. I'm coming at this from so many different ways. So the power lies in the layering of it. The other piece that I just want to share kind of as a general introduction before we start to get more specific is that, like I said, depending on the marketing vehicle, the message is going to get dressed up or it's going to get dressed down, but your marketing message should be at the heart of every single piece of marketing that you do. You don't want to waver from the message. Now, as we'll see next week, the message can have many, going back to the layering, you know, there can be many different ideas that are extensions of the message, and we'll do a cool, we'll make this into a visual, and each one of you will do it for your own businesses, and you'll see it. It can be really great, but every single piece of marketing that you do, at the heart of it, your message should be there. And, you know, just by the way, for me, that includes, like, for those of you that follow me on Facebook, even when I'm posting something about my family, you know, I tend to post a lot about parenting or, you know, my personal life, whatever it is, even when I'm posting about that, in one way or another, this message of depth, going deep, and how depth leads to mastery and mastery leads to growing your business, that's always a part and parcel of everything that I do. You know, every now and again, I'll just post like a quick something that's funny and, you know, doesn't, you know, it's a little bit of a diversion, but it's really, you know, if you follow me, you know, it's just out of character for me. Like, I'm always sticking to the marketing message. So your marketing message is very related to what I call sacred purpose. So let's just talk a little bit about sacred purpose for a moment. Your sacred purpose is I think of it as the core foundation of your entire business. It's the deepest reason why you're in business. So your sacred purpose is really why you're in business, beyond to make money, right? It's the deep, deep why. Your sacred purpose is at the heart of your offering. It's at the heart of the marketing avenues that you choose. It's at the heart of what you choose to teach about, what you choose to speak about, who you choose to speak to. It's the core of your branding, your business name, your tagline, all of that. When you're not clear on your sacred purpose, your offerings aren't aligned. You don't feel excited about what you're doing. You're not connected into your value. And prospects then have a hard time understanding what you do and what your value is. They have a hard time then understanding why they should hire you as opposed to anyone else out there. So I want to give you an example of this because marketing messages change and sacred purpose changes. So way back when in my business, like when I was still a baby entrepreneur, my very first online group program was a 12-week program called the Women's Intuitive Leadership Program. And when I developed this program, I was so in love with it. It really was 100% aligned with my sacred purpose. And the first 5 or 6 times that I offered this program, I filled it completely. And then at a certain point, I don't know, it was maybe the 6th, 7th, 8th time I offered it, all of a sudden nobody would come in. None of the old marketing would work. A couple people stepped in and then they stepped out, which is very rare for me, like before we even got started. I never even started that 7th cycle or whatever. It was like people would say yes and then they said no. And it was like I was banging my head against the wall. Like, why can't I get a single, literally, this program that had filled over and over and over again prior, I couldn't get a single person in. And when I finally was able to take a step back and look at what was happening, what I saw was that for as much as I loved the content in Women's Intuitive Leadership Program, I had really evolved since creating it. And a lot of what I was teaching in that program was not so exciting to me anymore. It was feeling really stale. My interests had evolved. And I had changed. What I saw essentially was that while it was very much in my sacred purpose for a period of time, it was no longer in my sacred purpose. That was right when I started specifically working with entrepreneurs, and that was the last vestiges of, you might be an entrepreneur if you want to step in, but maybe not, you know, and all of that. And I saw that, and I'm not a big risk taker, but I don't know, in that moment, I was willing to take a risk. And I really asked myself, like, what would my dream program be? You know, if I were to just scrap this, you keep the pieces that I still loved, but I knew that there was enough in there that it just wasn't. I needed to pretty much conceive of something new. If I were to conceive of something new, what is it that I would really want? I already had a thriving one-on-one practice, but this is about groups. And that was the first, that was when I decided I was going to offer my first mastermind. And the mastermind was way more expensive than Women's Intuitive Leadership Program. It involved some people. It was the first time people were going to travel to me. I was terrified, but I'll tell you, it was so much easier to fill that mastermind than Women's Intuitive. In fact, one of the people that were like in and then out of Women's Intuitive Leadership Program was 100% in for this mastermind that cost way more money than Women's Intuitive Leadership. So, and I filled that mastermind. That was actually the first year that I went way, you know, I broke 6 figures. And it was such an important lesson for me And I hope you're seeing this in my example of your offerings need to match your sacred purpose, and then your messaging comes from there, right? But it actually has to even start with your offerings. Do they match your sacred purpose? Has your sacred purpose changed, but you haven't quite caught up with it, or your offerings haven't quite caught up with it? It's going to make things harder. Wherever you are in your business, it's highly valuable to return to both your purpose and your message periodically. So I actually look at this for myself at least once a year. Number one, to make sure that all of my offerings, my marketing, you know, everything is aligned. It helps me understand how to update my existing offerings. And then maybe most importantly, when I come back to my sacred purpose, it helps me remember who I am and what I'm meant to be doing here on this planet. And then that helps generate more excitement for me, which generates more motivation, which allows me to take more risks, to do more action taking, you know, all of that. So I come back to this at least once a year. It's so easy, especially if you're an established, and I know there's a lot of established business owners here on this call, that if you've already kind of figured it out, it's just like then you don't come back to it again. You just kind of blow past over it. But I really want to invite those of you that are either, you know, more seasoned entrepreneurs to really start seeing your sacred purpose with fresh eyes. All right, so in a few minutes, we're going to kind of get into looking at sacred purpose. Again, sacred purpose is going to lead you to your marketing message. But first, I want to just talk a little bit about what gets in the way of really discovering your sacred purpose, really seeing it. What gets in the way of articulating a really powerful marketing message based on it. So the first thing that might get in your way, I am guilty of this one, is putting too much pressure on yourself to be perfect and to get it exactly right. If you're going for perfection here, you know, that's why in the beginning I said like there's no perfection, right? My messaging is always evolving, and my sacred purpose, you know, hopefully your sacred purpose isn't evolving, you know, every 3 months. That probably means you're just going after shiny objects. But, you know, every couple of years, my purpose does evolve a little bit. So you don't want to put too much pressure to be perfect and get it exactly right. Another thing that can get in the way is, and this is important, if you're a little bit scared to play it safe, either, you know, because something has worked in the past, it's probably not working anymore, but you're scared to shift. But the other way is that, and we'll get to this, but I'll just put it out there now, the most powerful marketing messages are the ones that aren't so nicey nice. The most powerful marketing messages are the ones that are going to create a little bit of tension in your industry and inside of your ideal client. The most powerful marketing messages are the ones that are going to disrupt business as usual in your industry or inside of your client. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Hopefully all of these examples from me are helpful for you. I'll just give you a couple of examples for me because really I think this has benefited me greatly. So I have, even before I pivoted, so that, you know, a big portion of my business is around training and mastery, even when all of my group programs were focused on marketing skills and all of that, I was one of the very, very, very early, like before anyone else, or one of the first before anyone else, I was one of the very early people that were calling out the coaching industry and the transformational industry. And I was just calling out, you know, the crazy marketing that was happening and the empty promises. I was calling out, you know, all of the expensive, like crazy photo shoots in foreign and luxurious places. And I you know, just like a real call to action, first just when I was teaching marketing, to authenticity, to grassroots marketing first before crazy online funnels, all of that stuff. And when I did that, so many people hated me. I mean, so many people, like, well, I shouldn't say so many, but a good amount of people got really, their feathers got ruffled about that, right? Because I was really calling things out. But let me tell you, I mean, I became such a magnet for people that had been sensing all of that, hadn't maybe quite articulated it, and was looking for someone who could call it out and show them a different way. And then the same thing again when I pivoted into you know, more into coach training and facilitation training, you know, I disrupted by saying, of course marketing is so important, I don't want to take away from it, but if you're not also focusing on the quality of the service that you're providing, then there's something wrong there, right? And again, there are some people that really didn't like that. And that's okay. That's kind of part of this whole visibility thing, right? Is, you know, that people aren't going to always like you. But by willing to be speaking the truths that I saw, by being willing to do that, and then by really having my message be part and parcel of that, that's what has allowed me, continues to allow me to kind of stand out more in a sea of people, right? In a sea of other entrepreneurs. All right, so I know I kind of just did a lot of talking, and in a moment, we're going to start doing work on your sacred purpose and on your message, but because I just did so much talking right now, I just want to check in with you. Does anybody have any questions so far or anything that you want to ask me? Star two. Or anything that you're seeing here that's important for you? Star two. Who is this? 8090 are your last numbers.
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Okay. Hi, so my question is, you kind of mentioned if you are changing your messaging kind of every couple of months, 2-3 months, just something like that, then you may have the shiny object syndrome, which I know I do, but I've gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I do feel like I'm, especially this year, has been like huge for like my growth, my evolving, and my expansion. So every time I feel like I'm like, okay, this is going to be my messaging, then I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I have a whole nother, like, epiphany, and it doesn't allow me kind of to really pinpoint what I feel like is true to me at that moment, because it's,
yeah.
it's so fast moving, moving so fast.
That's such a great question. I'm so glad that you're bringing it up. So here's I have an exercise for you. So if you're someone like Nancy, I want you to do this exercise, Nancy, and anyone else on the call, if you're someone like Nancy who has a little bit of shiny object syndrome, but even more than that, like you're just noticing that you keep on having epiphanies, the messaging keeps on changing, or the sacred purpose keeps on changing, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of the most the epiphanies that you've had over, let's say, over the last 6 months to a year, that have been the ones that are like most resonant for you, that feel compelling to you, that feel really close to your heart. I want you to make a list of all of them. It may end up being 10. It may end up just being 3, you know, whatever it is, but make a whole list. And then I want you to really analyze, and I want you to look at each of those epiphanies, and I guarantee you that there is a byline or a thread that's running through all of those epiphanies. There's probably a common theme underlying each of the ones that actually feel important to you, and I want you to identify that theme. That theme is probably a big crux of your marketing message. That makes sense?
Awesome. Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. And I'd love to hear what you come up with there.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Amelia.
Hello. Hi. I'm glad. Thank you, Nancy, for bringing that to light, because mine is kind of similar, but not so much with the sacred purpose and marketing message. I mean, I know that can be tweaked. That's been pretty consistent throughout with self-love. But when it comes to, like, the offerings and then, like, the vehicles, that may just be self-sabotage and fear of success to just, like, pick something and do it. But especially going through into the depth between curriculum lab and the retreat and all these things, it's like, should I do this 8-week program, or should I do this online thing, or, oh my God, this thing is so great. Like, so when it comes to, like, nailing an offering, would it be a similar exercise? Or, like, that's where, you know, and the resistance around perfection really hit home for me with that. It's like, I just want to be perfect, so I'm, like, I'm kind of sort of pulling triggers, but not, like, full-blown,
yeah.
Like, this is the program, fill
it. Yeah. Yeah. So I think a little bit of what you're asking is a business model question, which I don't totally want to get into on this call because it's a very good discussion, but it'll just take us in another direction. But I'll offer this, which I think will help. And we can have, you know, I'm going to be seeing you in person in a few weeks, Amelia. We could definitely have more conversations on this at the retreat. But a couple things. So first of all, for – like 9 out of 10 people, if you're more towards the beginning of your practice, which I know that you are, I really highly recommend filling, you know, your private practice at least 60% or 70% before focusing on a group. Or at least a bigger group. You know, you could have a smaller group of 4 or, you know, 5, 6, something like that. But the reason, and again, it's not right for everyone. There's always that 1 out of 10 that should do the groups first before having, you know, a good portion of their private practice filled. But I recommend that for a couple of reasons. Number one, just from a business standpoint, it's just easier to fill spots one by one than to have like X amount of people right away before you build more interest and more community. And when you bring on more one-on-one clients, then you get known more. They tell their friends, et cetera, et cetera. So then it becomes easier to fill. But the other reason is because working with one-on-one clients actually will help you understand so much more I know you've already created a curriculum. It's going to help you understand even more what the nuances of that curriculum, because you're going to be working with people and getting all of that feedback. So in addition to one-on-one, if you're wanting to do a program right now, I would look less onto the, like, more distanced, you know, like, online, a lot of people in it, just teaching mode. And I would think more, fewer people, half teaching, but really a lot of processing and coaching, keeping it intimate, and a lot of interaction with clients. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Awesome. Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Jamie.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say thank you so much. This is exactly the information that I need right now. I just wanted to say that really quickly. It's
yay.
Thank you.
You're
yeah.
Welcome. Yay. Yeah. Happy to hear it. And happy to hear your voice. All right. Heather. Let me get you here. Heather.
Hi, Juliana.
Hi.
You know, I do have a question, but it's also interesting. I just wanted to comment on what you and Amelia were talking about, because I'm, you know, we've talked about how I'm one of those people going in the other direction of starting with workshops and groups before, like, as a lead-in to the one-on-one practice.
And let me pause you. That's different. What you're doing, I still see it as in line, because your workshop is an offering on its own, but it really is a marketing avenue in. It's not like an ongoing year-long big mass, you know, big group or something.
Right.
Like.
Right. Yeah, it's not like a structured program with a curriculum like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So I see the difference. Thank you. So where I am right now and trying to push myself to do this marketing, I also – I like the exercise that you mentioned for Nancy, and I'm totally going to do that, because this keeps happening for me, that my thoughts just keep evolving. I'm like, oh, wow, this sounds really great. Oh, I forgot to add this in there. And I'm getting to a point where I feel like I could write a book, but how do I limit the information to just marketing and what is essential for these potential clients to know, like what can be saved for the calls, for the inquiries, for the actual workshop itself. And so that's my question, like what are the most essential elements, if that's possible to define globally?
It's a little hard because, as I said, different marketing avenues are going to have different pieces. But that being said, here's what I'll tell you. First of all,
so I guess if you're saying like Facebook, something where it's or Eventbrite, where it's a limited, it's not a website, just a limited characters.
Right. So. What do I want to say here? I think you'll know more, a little bit more, by the end of next week when we go through this process. The first thing we're going to do is I'm going to give some more things to think about, like what I shared with Nancy, that will help you hone in on, I call it like the crux. Like your marketing message has to have a crux to it. So what the theme is, what the most important idea that's running underneath everything. We're going to get to that, and then once we get to that, like I said, messages can be layered, right? So there may be lots of different ideas that come into play. So again, I'll use an example. Since you're in Sacred Depths, I'll use that as an example. You know, the crux of the marketing there is the more masterful of a coach that you become, the more you really master your skills, then the better results that you're going to co-create with clients and the easier it's going to be to grow your business. So that's the crux. But then there's lots of ways I can layer that, right? I can layer it, as I said earlier, by talking about why seasoned entrepreneurs need this as much as new entrepreneurs need this. I can layer it by talking about the difference between knowing some coaching skills versus really learning about human behavior and why that's important. I can layer it by talking about shadow or, you know, whatever it is. So there are other things that but at the core, it's always going to be about depth and mastery. Does that make sense?
Somewhat. Yeah.
Let's try to get through the process this week and next mm-hmm. week and then see where you land on it. I think you're putting a little bit the cart before the horse there. I get why you're asking the question, but I feel like more will become clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna.
Hey.
So most of my question was just answered in what you spoke with the others about, but I feel like the thing that just came to me is I was a coach first, and then as I was growing my coaching business, I went back and got a master's in Chinese medicine and became an acupuncturist also. And so for me, the marketing message, I've been in this like, oh, am I this? Am I that? Am I a coach who also does acupuncture? Am I an acupuncturist who also does coaching? And where is the crux of the message for all these different people? And there's a way that, like, what's coming to me now is I just need to have one message for that core person
yes.
that works for both.
Yes.
And one of my fears is, and then I want to get your input on this, is so this corporate woman, I used to be in the corporate world and had a whole marketing career in the corporate world, and a core niche in my coaching business is around this corporate woman who works too hard, gives too much, doesn't have boundaries, and then all of a sudden wakes up and goes, wait a minute, what am I doing here? And, you know, it's around boundaries and self-compassion and letting go and not giving everything to work. And it's been hard for me to sort of just claim that, in part because some people have had their work pay for their coaching. So I don't want to be like, don't work so hard. Hey, company, will you pay for the coaching?
That's always the problem with the work-life balance stuff in corporate.
Yeah. So part of me is saying just forget about the corporate paying for it and just decide that that's not who you're marketing to. And also, I don't know, that is my question.
Yeah.
Narrowing it down in lots of ways.
Yeah, I'm going to answer your question in a second, but first I want to pull out something else important that you just said. This is important for everybody. It was one of the biggest mistakes that gets made with messaging, and so I just want to name it now. You will fall into a trap in your messaging if you lead with your modality. I'm going to say that again. You're going to fall into a trap in your messaging if you lead with your modality. So the example that you gave is so perfect for this, Kelsey, right? Because it's like, well, am I talking about Chinese medicine or am I talking about coaching? Those are both modalities. Those are both tools that you use. But there's still an underlying theme with this, you know, busy woman, that's actually where the messaging is, what she needs, what she wants. And the medicine, yeah, I know Chinese medicine, but, like, when I say medicine, I mean this in a different way. Like, there's a medicine that you actually give her through the Chinese medicine or through the coaching, and it may be about, you know, claiming her freedom. It may be about her spaciousness. It may be about owning herself or, you know, whatever it is. But that's more where the marketing message is going to be than the modalities. All right, I just had to note that because it's important. To answer your question, whenever you're working for, you know, whenever you're doing corporate, you actually have two clients, right? You have the people that are working in the corporation, you know, that you're offering is directly, they're coming to the workshop or they're coming to the sessions. But then the corporation is also your client. So best possible scenario is that your message is going to, you know, at the end of the day, what's in a prospect's mind, whether the prospect is the corporation or the individual, at the end of the day, what's going through their mind is what's in it for me. What's in it for me? If you can, so again, best possible of worlds, if you can articulate, and so the message might be a little bit different to the corporation than to, you know, the person that actually shows up from the corporation to receive, right? But if you can articulate what's in it for the corporation, for their team members to have more spaciousness and to take it a little bit more easy, then you're gold, right? You can do it. And I think that there are some corporations, not all, but I think there are some corporations, you know, if you can really articulate to them that happier workers equals more productivity, equals more loyalty, equals more profits, then they'll be okay with you, you know, leaning in more to, you know, for so their women workers to creating more balance. How is that landing for you?
100%, exactly. That makes perfect sense. And it's just reminding me that while there's a bunch of women at a particular corporation that I have ended up having a lot of success coaching, their company might not be the one that would buy the program or say, yeah, let's have a workshop, because they don't believe that, you know, boundaries equals better productivity equals more loyalty equals more profits. So I can't convince a corporation of that, but there are corporations who believe that, and for them, that may be a viable message. It's also just reminding me that, like, that actually the marketing to corporations isn't my sacred purpose. That's what I'm just, like, really sinking into. It's really about the women.
Yeah. So that's important. And also agreed, marketing is never about convincing, but a really good marketing message can have somebody think about something a different way. Again, I'm just going to use my business as an example. Like, it's not natural, because the coaching industry has trained most individuals to think that what they need most is business coaching, which, again, I'm not knocking business. I am a business coach. You know, it is important. Mm-hmm. But through my messaging, I've been able to kind of, like, you know, like, chip away at that for people to start being like, I think I really need mastery too, right? So not convincing them, but through persistent messaging, you know, things can shift.
Yeah. Yes. And then the other thing I'm seeing, because even in the way you talk about your business, and then the way you sort of boiled it down for me about articulating it for corporation, there's a way that I'm seeing it always ends with more profit. Mm-hmm. That in order to give, what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is when you're really going to get your people to buy is if you can say things like happier workers, more productivity, more loyalty, more profit. And for you, it's more mastery, better marketing message, more clients, more profits, right? So it's like, if we can't, there's a limiting belief I have that if we can't equate what we're doing to more money at the end of the day for our client, it's harder to sell it. Do you see what I'm saying?
I think that's a limiting, yes, and I think that's a limiting belief. You know, if you're working with entrepreneurs or corporate, maybe. But let me tell you, I've spent way more money on practitioners for my health than I have for my business. Like, my health, my mental, emotional, and physical health, I've dropped a lot of money on my business. I've dropped way more, right? That's something that I value, right? So watch yourself there.
Yeah.
But that does bring an important piece that I want to share, and I want everybody to write this down. I had all these questions I wanted us to work on in the class today, and for homework. I'm just going to give it to you guys for homework. We're almost at the end of the hour, but I want everybody to write this down. This is really important. One of the things that you want to be thinking about and addressing in your marketing is, what is my ideal client laying awake at night worrying about? What is my ideal client laying awake at night worrying about? The reason why this is so important is oftentimes I'll have somebody come to me. You know, again, we can go back to the ritual and facilitation, right? I was talking all about the sacredness of ritual and, you know, this and that, the other thing, and that's great. Yes, it's true. But I wasn't hitting a nerve around, like, what's the gap in, for my ideal client, what is it that they really want? What is consuming them by way of, like, what they're worried about? That's part of what the messaging a powerful message wants to address. So, Kelsey, like, for your corporations, yes, money is going to be a piece of that, but I don't think that's the only thing that sells.
Right, right.
Awesome.
Thank you. Very helpful.
You're welcome. I there's a bunch of other hands up. I promise I'll get to them. I want to give you guys some questions that I want you to work on this week. And here's my invitation to you. Like I said, this is a process. This is a week-long container. I don't want you to just do it all in one sitting and then be done with it. I want to invite you to do them slowly and to come back to these questions throughout the week. These questions are questions that aren't one-shot deals. I do my best. My best ideas come in the shower, right? So, like, this is the type of thing where you're going to journal on it, and then more ideas are going to come in the shower or in your walk or, you know, whatever it is. So almost have these questions kind of be your companions for this week. Also set at least two or three sittings with them where you're actually going to write on them, but really just lightly set the intention that you're going to be with these questions over the week. I'll give them to you verbally now, and then I will also make sure that you get them in an email. So, and these are all simple questions, nothing like that's, you know, like, oh my gosh, where'd this come from, right? They're simple and they're obvious, but they're the most important questions. So first thing, what do I love helping other people with? What is the change in the world that my work helps to create? This next one, what is my unique ability? And what I mean by that is, what is the thing that you do so, so, so well that you're really in a category of one when it comes to that? What is the thing that you do so well? Because this is what we're going for with marketing message, is that you're not in a category with others. You're literally a category of one. Like, you know, for example, with me, what's my unique ability? What am I a category of one in? It's really co-creating for others a sense of sacredness, layered depth and meaning, and then training others how to do that. Like, nobody can touch me when it comes to advanced coach and facilitation training and giving those techniques. Category of one, right? So And maybe not, but at least I have to think of myself that way. That's what my messaging is, right? So what is it that you, that is your unique ability that you are in a category of one? It's like you're untouchable there. Next question. If there was a certain medicine that your work contained, what would that medicine be? Right, so Amelia earlier was mentioning self-love, right? So if there was a, if there was one medicine that your work contained, what would it be? Next question. When you look at those first four questions that I asked you, why is all of that important to your specific ideal client? Why is that important to your specific ideal client? So again, to use me as an example, going deep, getting layered, you know, advanced skills, mastery, to somebody who's surface, to somebody who isn't so concerned with creating real and long-lasting transformation with their clients, to someone who isn't that deep, none of the answers that I would answer for those questions, like, that doesn't, it doesn't matter to them, right? But for my ideal client, all of that is essential. So why is that all important? Why? You want to answer that question, why is that important? Then the next two questions, who are you for? Who are you for? But the next question is maybe even more important, who are you not for? Who are you for and who are you not for? And then once you do all, you know, once you've answered all of those questions, then the last one is, what's the one thing that you would really want, that person that you're for, your ideal client, what's the one thing that you would really want that person to know no matter what? All right. I know we are already over time. I will also send these questions to you. Have fun working on them. I'm going to stay on the line if they're are more questions. I'm going to actually lower everybody's hands because I don't know who raised and who was raised from before. And then if you have any other questions, and of course if you have to go, we're already at time. I think this is Linda.
It is. Joanne, could you just expand a little bit on that last question? What's the one thing you would really want that person to know, no matter what?
Yeah. So after you've done all of the other questions, here's how I want you to think about it. If you had a loudspeaker and you had a big crowd of all your ideal clients and you had only 5 seconds, like one short sentence to say to all of those people, it was like your one chance to say one thing to them, what would that one thing be?
Okay, good. So it's sort of like the, what do you want, you know, on your tombstone?
Yeah, kind of like that, but just even more specific, like for
yeah.
your ideal client, like what, if there's one thing that you would want them to hear, you know, if they would never come in contact with you again, but they would take that one thing that you just said and walk with it in their hearts, what is it?
Yeah. Awesome. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Chrissy.
Hi. So I noticed, and part of you saying this doesn't have to be perfect really takes some of the pressure off, but I get like, I can feel myself getting anxious as I get like closer to it, like, oh, what is it going to be? And I had a friend once say that you can't read the container that you're in.
The container.
It's so hard to see yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think these questions will help. I'm just curious from your own experience, like, have you seen that about people as well, that they can see it for others and not for themselves? And is there any other tools or just way of looking at this that could help with that?
Yeah. So first of all, Again, back to, like, it doesn't need to be perfect. We're not ready to tattoo this onto your body. Like, this is really a week of exploration and experimentation. So that's number one. Number two, that's why, you know, I want to workshop this next week, you know, and we'll have some time to hear what came through and, you know, and we'll go deeper with it too. But the other piece is that, like I said earlier, it takes time, and part of the time is about getting feedback. So I'm going to give another example from my own business, and hopefully this will kind of help you take a little less pressure off yourself. So in the first rollout of the Sacred Depths coach training, me and my copywriter were both, we thought we were such smarty pants because we came up with the thing that we thought that everybody was going to just like go crazy for. And that thing was, you know, a total, oh gosh, I'm losing my words. Like basically the message was that the main message, what I was leading with, was the coaching and transformational industry needs to change. If you are somebody that cares about integrity, then you must be willing to stand up for, you know, practitioners not being willy-nilly, but have more skills. That was what we led with. I was saying before, you know, you want to be willing to disrupt, right? I mean, that was like ultimate disruption. So we put this out there in a bunch of different ways. I did a whole teleclass on it. We had so many people join the teleclass. People were so interested. They were so engaged. I gave a call to action into the coach training, and very few people stepped in. And I was like, what happened? Like, we were so smarty pants. This is so good. I know my people care about integrity. Like, they want the industry to be better. And then it took us like a week, and then we realized that that is very true, and that that had to be like a sub part of my message, but that wasn't the thing that kept my ideal client up at night. Not like, oh my God, the industry needs her. The thing that kept her up at night was like, I have this client and that client, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job, but she's really stuck, and I don't know how to get her unstuck, and what if she doesn't re-sign with me if I don't, or, you know, whatever it is, right? And so that led to, like, a much more effective messaging. So anyway, my point in telling this story is that I was in that container that you were talking about. Like, there was no way. It wasn't just me. It was my copywriter, too, who's brilliant. And we got so jazzed and so excited, we couldn't see past it. I needed to experiment with it, you know? Like, I needed to put it out there and then get the feedback and read the writing on the wall. And I think even after that, if I remember correctly, I even, like, interviewed a couple people that came to that teleclass that I knew loved it. I to try to understand why, you know, and then it like became so clear, of course, and then we were able to tweak from there. So I hope that gives a little permission for it not to be perfect and to know that it's like it's an experiment, and that's okay. Is that helpful?
Yeah, and I wonder, can I ask clients that have worked with me for a long time, like what, like could you ask your clients as well if you have an established business? Or is that weird?
Not at all. I love that you're bringing that forward. I highly recommend that. I highly recommend two things. One thing is to ask clients. Well, I guess it's kind of the same thing. You know, I call it focus groups. But I will very regularly do a focus group, not only so that I can tweak my messaging, but so that it's like oftentimes you don't understand the impact that your work is making on other people, and then you're not even speaking as powerfully to the results as you could be. So I, after every cycle of every program, I always have a focus group, And, you know, we ask questions about what they received. We ask questions like, you know, why did you step into the program? What were the benefits that you received that you didn't think you were going to receive? You know, lots of different kinds of questions to get some more of that feedback, for sure.
Okay, great. I think that's it, because I get stuck in doing these exercises over and over and over again, yet my practice is pretty much full, and I'm, like, spending all my time on this and then not getting anywhere really different. And I think asking people why they're in my practice so that I can have more people like that would be really huge. Like, this is huge for me, so I really appreciate that added suggestion.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and I want to speak to, like, doing these exercises, because we all have, right? I mean, probably if you're on this call, you've done a million of these exercises before. And that's exactly why I'm saying that this is about, how do I want to put this? It's what I want to get to, what I'm hoping we're going to get to by the end of this is, like, that crux, is that theme, right? It's not like, here's this one sentence that we're going to say over and over again, and that's the thing. But it's like, what is the theme, right? So, again, for me, mastery and depth, mastery and depth, mastery and depth, right? I'm talking about what the result is, too, build your business, right? But that's the crux, and that's the medicine, right? So it's like the theme, and then everything else that I do can kind of sprout out from there. All right, I'm going to take, I've got time, so I'm going to keep on taking questions. Adina.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the extra time. I wanted to go back to something you said before about not leading with your modality, and wondered if you could speak to, you know, people who do have a range of different modalities. I think you were speaking specifically mm-hmm. around Chinese medicine, and I know that other women that you've trained have a whole range of other sort of related modalities, whether it's therapists or practitioners of other kinds. And just in terms of the question of creating a container specifically for coaching versus sort of a wider container that may be, you know, where it may be appropriate to bring in aspects of those other modalities, whether that is in some cases appropriate, I'm just not clear around that.
Ask me the question, like, what is the specific question?
So the question is whether it's always, whether you always have, you know, a coaching session that is just a coaching session that versus.
Right. So first of all, if you've got different modalities in your toolbox, I highly recommend using all of them, right? It's not that every session you're going to use every single modality, but, you know, as needed, I mean, each of these things are very powerful tools, right? So that's the first thing. I just want to give you full permission to use all of your modalities. And then from there, at some point in your marketing, you may mention coaching, yoga, meditation, Reiki, you know, whatever the modalities are, like that may end up on the page, but again, you don't want to lead with that. So
right.
If you've got different modalities, you know, still what I would say is, what is the thing that your ideal client wants the most, right? What is she up at night worrying about? And what is the medicine that's underlying all of those modalities that you give her, that she's looking for? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, the question was less on, well, I mean, both about marketing, but also just as a practice and pretty basic question that I wasn't clear on, so thank
Perfect.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, great. And Pardis. Hold on, let me get you off the air.
Hi, this is just based on what you had said in the beginning. It's pretty simple. When you were saying, like, your marketing message is not necessarily one sentence or a phrase, and then you said, you know, one of the best ways to grow your business is to master the art of facilitation, as an example. And then you said that you're coming from this in so many different ways, and the power of it comes from in layering of it. So can you give an example of what you mean by in the layering of it? Because I don't know why. I just was like, I had a hard time connecting the dots on that.
Yeah. So the layering of it is really every single, like, you know, I send out a newsletter most weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No matter what the topic of that newsletter, there's mastery and depth are going to be at the core of it. No matter what I post on social media, I'm still showing in one way or another that mastery and depth are absolutely vital for my ideal client's practice or my ideal client's private life. In anything that I do, you know, and I can talk about such a range of topics, but at the core, it's always going to connect back to the vital importance of mastery and depth. That makes sense?
Got it. I got it. So you're basically using, like, your, I don't know, I call it, like, your mantra, your message in as the underlying theme connected to everything that you do.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. you know, I can just even give an example of, like, my last two newsletters. Seemingly, you know, at first you'd be like, how is this related, right? So my last newsletter was like three questions to ask yourself to help you go deeper with clients, right? So again, mm-hmm. the depth is there. And in that article, I spoke about mastery and how the importance of mastery and how these questions will help you be more masterful and go deeper. Now, the newsletter before that was like an off-the-cuff, someone very close to me had died. I wanted to write about that, but what I layered in there was the importance, you know, how her death had impacted me, and I had kind of needed to take it easy for the week, and, you know, how are you approaching your own clients when things happen? Are you allowing for space? Are you, right? So, again, like the depth and the math, even in that topic, I was still emphasizing, you know, I was still on message there. Does that make sense? Did I lose you? I can't hear you, Purdy. All right. Hopefully, I don't know what happened to you, but hopefully that made sense. All right, everyone. Thank you for hanging on the line. I can't wait to hear how this goes for you, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. The model.